Welcome, everybody. Thanks for listening to Tools for Lives at Tint podcast. My name is Ana Pereira, event organizer at Tint, and today I'm having a nice conversation with Rachel Van Dandel about the initiative Room for Peace. Rachel is a life coach at Tint and also a student chaplain and a minister. She is a skilled counselor and a passionate creator of safe places where people can be themselves and share their life stories and emotions. All info and contacts shared during our conversation can be found in the show notes. Let's get to it. Thank you for accepting our invitation, Rachel, to be here again. Very happy to talk with you for another episode of the Tint podcast. This podcast, we would like to talk about a quite special initiative that didn't start for the best reasons, but it still offers quite a good moment for reflection about so many emotions. I would like to focus this episode talking about the Room for Peace. So the Room for Peace is an initiative of TUI, FISO, where Tint is a part now, the new umbrella, and is a place to provide support for any student that feels affected by the Ukrainian war. So nowadays we have this beautiful and comfy space behind the Energy Forum in Meta Forum, and students are welcome to share the stories with the listening ear during the lunch break, and then there's some other initiatives. So it's a quite a unique space in a technical university with flowers and...
We need to water them, though. That's what we did today.
Pictures of quite some peace icons as well.
Yeah,
and
true.
It's a comfy, colorful, beautiful space. But what was your idea behind it? How this came to happen?
Yeah. So, of course, at the TUI, we work in an international, intercultural environment, right? And I also work in Maastricht. And what happened, also there, I work with students, Moldovan students, students from Poland, students from Ukraine, students from Russia. And immediately after the first bombs fell, a student came in from Moldova, and she heard what happened. She heard her parents heard the bombing. Because they are a neighboring country. Okay, she came in crying, and I thought, okay, this is coming, so we should do something. At the same time, I saw already many student-led initiatives starting, so students were raising money. They were driving, actually, to the border to pick up refugees. And, of course, like as Tint, we always like to focus also on creating space for emotions, for feelings, so what is actually happening, like generation, like, okay, facing a war, what does it actually mean? And that's why I actually came up with the idea for the Room for Peace. So basically, we were talking about, like, how should we name it? How should we call it? And it was you as well who said, okay, but it's just basically, it's a Room for Peace. And I agree. And also, before I joined Tint, I worked for an NGO. And we were focusing on women's rights. And I had the privilege and opportunity to go to the United Nations in New York. And there they have a room devoted for peace. And that room is created by Dag Hammarskjöld, the Secretary General of the United Nations in the 50s. And he had this idea in a place where you imagine like everyone is working on peace. That they need a space, that they need a space for silence and a space to breathe. And in that space you find, not so much, it's quite empty, but you find in the middle of, what is it? It's iron ore. It's something, it's a block made of iron ore. And for Dag, what that actually meant for him was, okay, iron, you can make swords out of them, but you can also build houses of them. And he asked the question, like, what are we going to do? And somehow, especially at the TUE, I think we are working with engineers. We are working in this world, and we're trying to do something good, I hope. And right now, I think it's a good time to also have a room for peace here, not only at the United Nations, where everyone is already working on peace, but I think also for us, like, how are we going to use our skills and our talents? And so that's also a reason that I thought, okay, this is a moment to install this room and see how it works.
Yeah. So we are missing a block of iron ore in our room for peace.
Yeah, so someone can help us create.
Maybe mechanical engineer students or building environment students, if you're listening to this.
Yeah, should be happy though.
But it's a very interesting concept of having a block of a material that mean different things depending yeah. of how we build it and how yeah. we shape it.
Yeah.
And there's a sense of our own responsibility yeah. in the end result of that block.
Yeah, and at the same time, some endurance, some stability, like it will be there. And back then in the 50s for the Secretary General, it was important that it was a space for everyone. So it was also an interfaith space, so where many people from different religions, different backgrounds could come together in silence to pray or to set their intentions towards what they want to achieve in the world out there. And all these gatherings, of course, devoted to peace. So yeah, for me, that room, although it's a tiny room, it really inspired me. And somehow right now, of course, when it comes to a war, what often happens is that we tend to polarize, right? Like it's really hard to see one another for who we are. And of course, creating a framework of peace, it can actually help us. Like everyone who's devoted to peace, everyone who's devoted to working on a just society can come there, whatever your background is. And especially now, I think that's quite important.
And what is your first experiences with the students that yeah. you've met in that space? How was received?
The opening was quite small, so there were a few students. What we did is we created a ritual together. So we were standing in a circle, and students were able to speak, to share what it meant to them. And already then, for example, we had an Ukrainian student and a Russian student, and Ukrainian students, he shared like that this room is important, that these initiatives the students are taking, everyone's taking, it's important that they feel the support. And at the same time, like the Russian student could share, I'm sorry for what is happening to you. I'm really sorry. And I think like that moment, especially that moment, but also the preparations before. So I was working together with the student who was indirectly affected by the war because of one of her friends is coming from Ukraine. And I think, yeah, that we are doing something at the same time we are creating the space, that's already a start. And right now, and I also hope this podcast helps us, I do see that we need to get more students on board, like to also create a space for student-led initiatives when it comes to what's working on peace, and to actually find the students who need this space, because that's, I realize that's a thing that we as a community should pick up and also should create that, okay, if you go to a student counselor, there is this place where you can go to if you need to. And especially when it comes to being affected by the war, it's different, right, than, okay, you have study problems, how to work on that and how to find some tools that you can work on and change something. This is different because this is coming from the outside and we cannot really control it. How do you deal with that? And then I think these spaces are really valuable and important.
For a student at TUE, even the promotion was maybe a bit weird, like a room for peace. Well, what is that? This is such a new initiative here at this environment that might take some time to settle in and then find its purpose. One of the things that I really liked about the opening of the Room for Peace was the emotion. Like, it was heartwarming. And of course, you made it so beautiful with the rituals of writing in those hearts that are on the window. So there are blue hearts and yellow hearts.
So, yeah, basically, we created the hearts. And if you're still invited, if you go to the Room for Peace, that you can write something on the hearts. The blue hearts are for grief, so where you can share your loss, shame, guilt as well. And the yellow hearts are for hope. So what gives you hope right now? And normally we tend to talk about only what gives us hope. And we wanted to create a space where you can also talk about what hurts you and what's difficult for you to deal with. And not only in a room with someone who's listening to you, but that you can actually show it, that that's also part of you. Because we always need both. We need to somehow accept that, we might are in a difficult space and we are feeling bad and we are sad about what's happening and we are maybe devastated because every day when we read the news, it comes in like what is actually happening. It's terrible and it's terrifying that this war is happening and that we see what is exactly happening. We have the news for that. At the same time, we need hope. Because without hope, we are stuck and we cannot move. We cannot dream anymore. We cannot long anymore. So we need both. And of course, being a life coach, you always work what is hard and at the same time, what is life giving and what brings you hope.
I would like to ask a bit more about that because it's not that common to talk about grief. And also, I think it's becoming maybe too clear that we are most likely have to live with the situation for at least some months. So how to deal with the prolonged uncertainty, with the prolonged suffering, with a prolonged feeling of impotence, because we are seeing those images and we can't do much to change it. So how to deal with this kind of long-term negative feedback loop on our days?
Yeah, this is a really important question you're asking. Thanks for that. At one point we get numb, or some of us get numb, because these images keep on coming in every day. Somehow, we just go on with our lives because it might not directly affect us. Also, some of us were directly affected because they know people or they affected themselves. It is their daily reality. And what you do need then is actually some rhythm and routine. So somehow it's important to do the things you did before, although they might feel different and you don't have motivation. You should still go to gym. You should still go out with friends. You should still go to the cinema or to the theater. At the same time, if you don't accept that this is affecting you and you push it away, then it will come back and it will stay. And it's in your system. So you need spaces where you can talk about this. You need spaces where you can grieve. And you also need spaces where you can have some mindful media consumption, for example, that you tell yourself, I don't watch the news 24 hours a day, but for this moment, this specific time slot, I take time to read and I also take time to breathe. So what am I seeing? How do I experience it? And maybe you need to write, you need to journal, you need to do something with that. Daily choices you have to make, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? Scheduling, it sounds weird, but scheduling moments for grief, for feeling, for allowing that, it's really important. And at the same time, I know, when you're directly affected, you also might need to see someone who can guide you in this, like some therapy, especially when it comes to trauma.
What about senses of guilt in cases that you are here, but you have relatively close ones that are being affected, or you have friends that it's being affected, but you still want to go on with your life? And how to deal with this guilt that you are lucky that you still have the possibility to just go on with your life?
We've seen it with some students here, right? And I think that's one hand, take positive action. And what does that mean? Maybe not drive directly to the border, but look around you, be conscious. Maybe some people are affected and you don't know it. Don't assume, but ask questions. How are you doing? If you have a friend, an Ukrainian friend, also take them out and do something. Like what we do see also from research is how important it is to have a support system in place. So
the support system means that you always continuously have to talk about the war, but that you also be friends, maybe distract people from what's going on. These are small positive actions you can take. At the same time, feeling of guilt, explore that. So that's blue heart we talked about. What does that mean to you? How do you relate to guilt? Feel that. So that's something I think it's also important. Like what is actually happening when I'm feeling guilty? Instead of, again, telling yourself, pushing it away and go on with your life.
Something that was coming to my mind, and I think quite important to reinforce that idea, is that one thing is to distract yourself or distract others when you are facing a troublesome situation. Another thing is pushing your feelings away. Came to my mind that, for example, cancer patients, they don't want to talk about their disease all the time. They don't want it to be remembered how life most likely is going to end pretty soon. They just want to probably have fun, laugh, do some craziness, have goofy times. And that doesn't mean that you are forgetting about what you're leaving or you're trying to bury it, but it's normal to want this space to run away to.
To elaborate a bit on that, for me, it's not really a space to run away to, but it's a part of life that needs our attention as well, right? So to make the distinction between pushing something away and actually focusing on what gives you life, what gives you joy. And it reminds me of some of the refugees who come here. We often ask them, like, how was your journey? What did you experience? Like, how was it back home? Sometimes you need to ask, how are you right now at the present moment? What gives you energy? What do you love to do? And depends, of course, who's sitting in front of you. But it can help you and also the people around you to refocus upon what is happening right now in the present moment. And again, it doesn't mean you're pushing away the past and you're pushing away what's painful, but it means that you see a human being as a whole human being with the past, with what happened to one. So, and then also with a future ahead, with dreams and opportunities.
With a blank page to just cover it.
It's not easy, right? So
no, it's not easy. And it's a conflicting situation sometimes.
And again, like if you don't know what is the right thing to do, don't assume. Just ask.
Just ask, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing.
This initiative started as a way of supporting students affected by the war. Yeah. I think we could maybe think about how to create these spaces for more normal day-to-day. So maybe that room for peace in the future doesn't have to be the room for peace, but maybe the room for breathing and taking some time for yourself. And
breathing can also be very peaceful, right?
Yeah, but
I think like we as teams and together with Andrew now, we also offer mindfulness and within like the peace, thinking and working on peace. Sometimes it starts with meditation, peace within oneself. Thich Nhat Hanh, who just passed away recently, a Buddhist teacher who actually brought mindfulness to Western world. For him, like, you needed to work on yourself to be able to work towards a peaceful and justful world. So it's not I think everything is interrelated. I think that works. You can think about how should we call this room, but I think that's also important to be aware of, that if you cannot find peace within yourself, how are you going to create peace in the world? So
that's true, but it's two-way street in a way. So it I completely agree with you. You should try to step by step get to know yourself a bit better and try to understand yourself, your past, how that affects you, what are you doing in your present and where do you want to go in the future. I think TINT is always a place where students can come to explore that, to learn some tools to do that. Yeah, but sometimes our environment influences, and sometimes we don't know that we need peace inside of ourselves.
Yeah.
But the fact that, for example, we are helping others, we have this calling to do something, to do, for example, volunteering work or to read more about certain topics, then reflect on yourself and what you need.
Yeah.
So it can be a two-way street in that sense.
It is. For that
to work nicely with a nice flow both ways, we need maybe to be brave, to be vulnerable, maybe to accept that there's a moment for that, to accept our condition and as human beings and not as machines that always have to work and be perfect and fulfill all the expectations that surround the person. Just a moment to let go, maybe to just feel.
So are you saying that meditation can also be a place to just practice to just be and not focusing upon peace, like especially doing something again? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe.
I think when you practice meditation, but maybe I'm not sure if it's a part of the this podcast or doing any other ways that sustain you from the inside, then you practice something like to understand who you are and where your vocation lies in this world. And there can be so many different things, but I think to be able to breathe and sit and to relate to yourself, you learn, like, okay, actually my part, this is the choice I should make. And it doesn't come immediately right now, but I do think you learn it by just being. And at the same time, you were talking about environments. In life coaching, I often talk about the importance of having secure places and secure bases. So a secure base actually means a role model or a teacher or maybe a family member or a friend where you can feel I'm allowed to just be myself. And I think we often don't really see how important that is unless someone we lose someone passes away. Like we, for example, there was a professor here, I didn't know him, Armin was his name, and he, like, I saw his in memoriam, and he was a role model for so many students and PhD students. Not, yeah, of course, he was doing this interesting research, but also, and that was, I always find inspiring, because the way he was present and the way he was seeing others and the way he listened to others. And I think, these people, we do need them to become peacemakers, but also to just become ourselves, right?
There, for some people, it makes sense to look inside, and from the inside, you create the peace first, and then you go into the world. But for other people, might just be easier to just go into the world, try to do your best, and those experiences then make you find a way to the inside. And
of course,
it's okay both ways. I think there's a bit of a tendency to try to tell people which way to go. And what I think what I was trying to say is that sometimes you can't find peace inside yourself, but because that's valuable for you, you end up doing great initiatives or trying to do something for the world, and in the middle of that you find your way to yourself. Sometimes you just you see something inside, or you do mindfulness and you start noticing something inside, and you go the other way around. And both ways are okay, and in both ways we need space to be vulnerable, space to don't know where to go, space where we don't have a clue, we don't have an answer, we are just there a bit lost. But in the middle of that storm inside, there's always a way.
I realize I've been talking about mindfulness, but to be honest, like sitting down for 30 minutes, it's quite hard and challenging for me. I rather go, and that was what we did yesterday, host a theater workshop with students, right? So yesterday we had an improv theater workshop, and for me, when it comes to learning how to relate to one another, learning how to play, for me, then I feel like, okay, this is my meditation practice.
This is how you find your peace in a way.
How I find peace. And we had so much fun at the same time. And the students loved it. So that is of course, there is no right or wrong. And I do think, like, there are things that give us energy and things that give life and things drain us, right? And we've all been there or are burned out or anyway. And I think if we fighting against that, we really should find something that gives us some energy back. So we regain our energy, and then we should do these kind of activities, and activities that don't really focus on output or being efficient or being fast or being the best, but activities that focus on, okay, what kind of human being do we want to be in this world? And that can be, there are so many different things we can do.
Yeah, and then bringing back to the Room for Peace idea, yeah. Of course, now we are just the starters of an initiative. Yeah. We don't want to be owners of the initiative. This, we would like that this could find its own life. Yeah. And for now, of course, there's support if the students come to us by those listening ears during the lunch break, by the coaching that you and Margit and Laura have been organizing on Tuesday evenings and Friday lunch breaks. But it would be great if this could turn the other way around, that people have an idea and just use the space for something for them, for an initiative by students, for students, that space become theirs.
It's actually one of our dreams, that it's a space where students can actually start new initiatives, and that it's a space for student-led initiatives, and that we offer the support. And I'm happy to announce that we will have student ambassador for peace who can help us finding these initiatives, who can help us to support it, who can help us to make it a room for everyone who wants to do something. And I think that's great, because you said we are not only owning that space, but it's something that's for all of us, and also helps us to see, okay, we are this community, and yeah, there is this space. If you have an idea, you're welcome. You're so welcome, and we will help you with realizing it.
I'd like to bring another harder topic, but because we mention the space as room for peace in general, one of the big conversations or one of the discussions that appeared was the focus on different wars. Mm-hmm. We feel much more affected by this war because it's closer to us, but then in other situations and there is other ongoing wars that we don't pay much attention. Yeah. What would be your advice for a student that, for example, comes from those areas, feels a bit of a sense of unfairness, how the situation is different and how people are treated differently?
It's again a good question. It's the why now question. What I've experienced working with refugees in Maastricht is actually that they all said, how can we help? What can we do? Can we do something from our experience as being a refugee? At the same time, I do think it's a moment to check in with ourselves, like, okay, there are already so many refugees here. They're waiting for their status. They're waiting for a place to live. How can we see them? And what do we need to take care of or their needs as well? And I realize, like, and this is a psychological mechanism that we folk that look like us. This is already happening in our brains. We cannot really do anything about that except of being aware that this is happening.
Some research says it's kind of biological mechanism from species recognizing species, then has an extra layer of socially construct racism on top of that biological mechanism.
And then again, once we are aware of that, that is actually happening before we even know, then we can change our behavior, right? So we can learn from this, and maybe also this war, maybe it can allow us to also see and acknowledge the people who are already displaced for so many years and try to also focus on them. But of course, again, it's a sensitive topic, so I don't have, like, if students come to me and ask me, can we organize an event on Afghanistan, and can we organize an event about Yemen, can we organize an event about Syria? Yes, of course. You're welcome. Tell us what we can do and we support you. So I think let this podcast be a moment for everyone who wants to work on peace on, yeah, wherever they are.
Yeah, that's why I brought this topic, because I think it's important to make this clear that although this started because of a concrete reason, that doesn't mean that the concept cannot expand and become more inclusive and more representative and welcome anyone with a nice idea to promote peace. It doesn't necessarily have to go into this duality of Ukraine, Russia, or war peace. Can be other types of peace as well, like we've briefly talked about in this podcast. I just wanted to kind of reinforce that idea.
Thank you for bringing it up. Yeah, it's important.
You showed me a very nice poem that inspired you for this project. Would you like to maybe end the episode by reading it?
It's a poem by Mickey Scottby Jones, To Brave Space. Together we will create brave space, because there is no such thing as a safe space. We exist in the real world. We all carry scars and we all have caused wounds. In this space, we seek to turn down the volume of the outside world. We amplify voices that fight to be heard elsewhere. We call each other to more truth and love. We have the right to start somewhere and continue to grow. We have the responsibility to examine what we think we know. We will not be perfect. This space will not be perfect. It will not always be what we wish it to be, but it will be our brave space together, and we will work on it side by side.
I think that's a beautiful way to finish our episode. We welcome everyone to go to the Room for Peace, enjoy a moment to breathe there, meet other students. If you have any initiative in mind to promote peace, or very concretely about the Ukraine war, please contact Tint or Fizo. We can help you to make that happen. And also, if you are very passionate for peace and you want to actually have it more present at TUE, we are looking for a student ambassador to help us keep going with this space and make this space more of everyone of this university and not only ours. And with this, I want to thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thank you for your invitation.
And see you all in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Tools for Life, the Tint podcast. You can find more information about Hashel on the life coaching section of the Tint website. If you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe to the Tint podcast and find more information about what Tint is up to in our website, tint-eindhoven.nl, or by following us on Facebook and Instagram. All info and contacts shared during our conversation can be found in the show notes. My name is Zena Pereira, and I look forward to having you with us for the next episode.